I have a lot to see tonight. A lot of Reb Tzadok. Tonight we're going to speak about Pesel Micha, but before we get there, I want to go through with you, if you turn to the last page of the handout, there's something which we didn't have time to go through last week, which is the Ralbad summation of the last seven Prakim of Sefer Shoftim, why they made it into Tanakh. These are the Toel Yosef, the Rabbat. We've seen already that several times in the course of the Sefer, he's gone through the advantages, the Limudim, the Musar, which we can learn from various different parts of the Sefer. And let's go through them quickly so we can get to Pesel Micha. The Toel Yosef, the Rabbat. In number one, going back way back to Perek Yud, where after Yair HaGiladi died, he says that they were immediately subjugated to their enemies, to the Ammonites, because of their sins. And immediately upon their doing tshuva, the Hashgacha of Hashem brought them redemption. So we see there the Yad Hashem, that the Yad Hashem is immediate. Very often, when you sin, zap, you get it right away. It says there, Bashanai, that year, they were punished for 18 years under the reign of the Ammonites. And immediately when they did tshuva, poof, right away, HaKadosh Baruch Hu sent the redemption, and ultimately that brought about the Yiftach. Now, in the second Toelis, in Yud Aleph Vav, is that you should never put people down because you'll never know when you'll need them. The Zigne Yavish Gilad kicked Yiftach out because he was a Ben Isho Zoyna. That was a mistake, because later on they had to plead with him to come back. Three, ensure your just rewards. By that we mean Yiftach made sure to secure a promise of leadership ahead of time before he went out to war. By the way, an interesting thing which the Rabbah tells us here is that Mitzvah, which was in Eber HaGilad, was a special place which was designated for revealing God. And Mitzvah means Tzipui Hashem. Why do I say that's a Chiddush? Because the Rabbah, or special interesting thing the Rabbah tells us, because the Rabbah is a very big rationalist. And it seems like he held that nonetheless there was this mystical place where the Jews could come in contact with God, which is a very interesting perspective for the Rabbah to have. Four, don't wage war without good justification. Yiftach had given a whole list to the Ammonites, a whole message about how their war was unjustified. Basically, the point of this main theme is that if you don't have any justification, you have no right to wage war. Five, don't be hasty, even l'shem shamayim, lest you regret it. Yiftach with his nether. He was too hasty. He shouldn't have made the nether, which ultimately led him to have to sacrifice his daughter. Six, one should thank Hashem for salvation in a public manner. That's an interesting thing. Although he learns the negative aspect in Yiftach's nether, he also learns the positive aspect, that Yiftach felt the nether was necessary in order to make subsequently a public display of gratitude to God for the redemption. And that's why the Yiftach, the nether, also had a positive aspect. Seven, once you take a nether, you have to follow it through. Now, the Rabbah seems to have learned that Yiftach was, had a legitimate avenue. Not completely legitimate, obviously, but a legitimate avenue in with this nether, because you have to follow through with your nedarim once you're taking him. And he says HaTorah's nedarim wouldn't work under such circumstances, because you're not allowed to have remorse or regret on something which has to do with pirsum hanes, with publicizing the miracle. So Yiftach, the Rabbah says, from his perspective, was doing the right thing, because you got to follow through and you shouldn't regret, even if it's going to have tragic circumstances, a nether which was intended to demonstrate public gratitude on a miracle. The thing is that you should have realized that following through on this specific nether was against halacha. And that Rabbah says they were so assimilated into the surrounding nations that they didn't realize how great the evil, the avla involved here was. Number eight, don't be jealous if it's unwarranted. Just look what happened to Bnei Ephraim. Bnei Ephraim were jealous that they weren't called out to war, and that the Menashe people waged war and many thousands of them died. Number nine, always be grateful after salvation. In other words, by Ephraim too, the same people, they weren't grateful for Yiftach's having saved them, and that led to devastating results when they were all murdered. Number ten, don't mock people. The Ephraimites mocked the Menasheites, and they said, "Oh, you Menashe guys, you're nowhere near Ephraim," and for that, they were killed as well. Number 11, women should get married, even if it means leaving a noble house. This comes kind of out of left field. But it says, Ifson had 30 daughters. Ifson, who we said was Boaz, had 30 daughters with Shalachutza. They came from a very noble, regal household, the household of Ifson. It was still better for them to leave and get married. Number 12, Hashem provides Shmiros, safeguards for people's weaknesses. The Nazirus was given to safeguard Shimshon because he had this lust, this potential lust for women, so therefore he was given the Nazirus to safeguard him and keep him away from that.
With all due respect.
Yeah.
Why did you safeguard him?
It could have been worse. It would have been worse. You missed last week. You'll have to take out the tape. This was a direct result of Yaakov's tefillah, Lishuascha Kivisi Hashem. Okay, this was, he says that this safeguard was came from Yaakov Avinu's davening. 13, one should clarify directly if possible, not rely ever on hearsay. Manoach asked the Malach to return, and he didn't rely on his wife's say-so. Number 14, miracles fortify Emuna. And that's why HaKadosh Baruch Hu sent miracles such as the Malach and Shimshon's Mofsim, their miraculous signs. Now, I want to tell you that not everybody agrees with this perspective. A lot of Rishonim hold miracles are not good. Rambam, chief among them, holds that we are a religion which downgrade miracles. We hold that miracles are a dime a dozen. They don't prove a thing. Muna has to be rational and not based on any miraculous occurrence, because that's really very Christian. So the Rabbah, though, obviously, in a different perspective, he held miracles are mechazik emunah. They do fortify emunah, and therefore the Rabbah says all these miracles occurred with all these malachim in order to fortify the emunah of people who were involved. Number 15, people who saw malach thought they would die. Why? Because when the intellect perceives the spiritual, it feels compelled to bond with it. Here's the rationalist in the Rabbah coming out. He says that the reason why somebody sees an angel thinks they're going to die is because normally the intellect is not spiritual. It's not in touch with the spiritual. You see something spiritual, it feels so compelling, so uplifting, that the intellect feels it must leave the body in order to join with the spiritual. Number 16, Hashem brings his plans to fruition. In other words, Shimshon had this to'ena, this whole business with the plishtim, in order to, and their women, in order to ultimately bring about the defeat of the plishtim. Number 17, don't reveal secrets even to your wife, because it brought certain sons to Shimshon down. Number 18, stay away from plishtim, even ones who were misgayer. Why? Because Shimshon was misgayer, his wives, fat lot of good that did him. Number 19, a leader has to guard his nation's safety, not just his own. And that's why when the Bnei Yehuda were imperiled by Shimshon's presence in their midst, Shimshon immediately went and gave himself up on his own volition to the Plishtim. Number 20, the Hashgach of Hashem, in having an imprisoned, unarmed man bring great salvation. Shimshon was imprisoned, he was unarmed, nevertheless he brought a great salvation by bringing the house down on all the Plishtim. Number 21, Shimshon's eyes were gouged out because of Midah Knegemida. He followed his eyes, therefore his eyes were themselves punished. Number 22, Hashem took his revenge for his honor through Shimshon. Shimshon wanted to manifest that his own sin was his downfall as well. Therefore, Shimshon did not ask for a greater miracle, in other words, survival. He was willing to die because he knew he wasn't Roy, he wasn't suitable. So therefore, Shimshon realized that the only miracle he could ask for was the miracle of taking the plishtim down with him. His sin was so terrible that he had to agree to accept the fate of death, HaKiddush Hashem, in bringing down the house on the plishtim. Okay, now let's go on to Pesel Micha. Let's start from Pasuk Aleph here. Perek Yud Zayin, Pasuk Aleph. This is a short parak, but it's jam-packed. Vayesh Isha Chalad Mihar Ephraim, this is an individual from Har Ephraim, Mushmo Michio, and his name was Michio. My notes are on the last page, opposite where the we just read. The Mefarshim point out that this parasha is out of order. This episode took place much, much earlier. This maisa really occurred either at the end of Yeshua's lifetime or during Othniel ben Knaz's lifetime, immediately thereafter. The same is true about the subsequent maisa, which we're going to learn about in 3 weeks, which is Pilegish Begiva. Various reasons for this delay are cited, why this parsha comes much later. One is that there's a connection to Shevet Dan, because Shevet Dan was Shimshon Shevet. And later on, although not this week, we're going to see that Shevet Dan figures prominently in the maisa with Pesel Micha. Besides that, we're going to see also in this maisa figuring prominently a lust for money. and a specific sum of money as well, which was similar to the Maisa with Shimshon. In Shimshon, the money which was promised to Delilah was $1,100. Here, too, we're going to see $1,100. And we'll explain that when we get there. The Barbanel says that this has to do with the fact that the parsha was pushed off the air because it's a private episode. In other words, it took place among individuals, as opposed to all the wars which we were examining previously. All those wars were national concerns. So therefore, there's a difference. All of these private concerns, so to speak, the individual episodes were left for later on in the Sefer. It seems to me, however, and we're going to see Reb Tzadok in a few minutes to back us up on that, that we're in the last four prakim now of Sefer Shoftim. And these prakim are prakim are the chasima, the sign-off of Sefer Shoftim, and they parallel the beginning. The first two prakim, way back when, describe the faults of the nation at the time, their avodah zarah and their licentiousness. And lo, we know, we quoted the powerful Chazal at the time, lo avzi saw avodah zarah ela kedei lahatil en arayos. The reason why Jews worship the avodah zarah is in order that they should be able to have license, to be lustful. So here too, the chasima is meina psicha. The signature of the book is like the opening, the prelude to the book. We are talking about avodah zarah and about arayos as well. And obviously we're saying, fat lot of good the whole period of the Shoftim did to Am Yisrael. Even though, true, this maisa took place at the beginning, not at the end. But we're stressing that the period of the Shoftim was one which was rampant with Avodah Zarah and rampant with Gilui Arayos. And this is really a powerful combination. Now let's talk about Michio a little bit. And here it's called Michio. And here I wrote down a couple of chazals for you. And we're not going to explain them tonight. We'll have to explain them in the course of the next week, because they really require a lot more understanding. The first one is Bamidbar Rabbah. Lefishoya Mekabel Orchim. Since Micha was a great Machnis Oreach, he's a great host, Nichtav Shmo Kishema Tzadikim. His name is written like a tzaddik. Michayohu includes the name of God, Yud-Kei. So here he's given an appellation like a tzaddik. And here too, Chazal tell us, and this time it's Sanhedrin, Dav Kuf Gimel, why is Micha not counted? Why is that included in the count of people who don't apportion the world to come? Because his bread was readily available to passerby. He was a machnis orech. So even though he was an oved of Avodah Zarah, he got into Olam Haba as a result. Amazing. Besides that, v'avar bayom tzara. It threw the sea past the difficulty. Zet pislo shamicha. This is pesamicha. That it passed through Yamsuf together with Am Yisrael when they left Egypt. And migorav, from where Gorav, where the pesamicha was. Lishilo to Shilo was 3 million. Vaya oshan ha-ma'aracha va'oshan pesamicha mis'arvim zebozeh. And the smoke from the ma'aracha, from the korbanos in the Beis HaMikdash, and the smoke from the korbanos of Pesel Micha, the idol of Micha, would combine with each other. Bikshu Malachi Asheris L'dochvo, so Malachi Asheris wanted to push Micha aside, obviously to liquidate him. V'omar Elohen HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Hashem said to them, Hanichulo, leave him alone. Neshepito Metzuyo Lo'ovrei Drachim, because he provides bread to wayfarers. Now, this is a remarkable, remarkable statement by Chazal. You have to be Chazal to make a statement like this. Does Pito Metzuyel Ovrei Drachim that saves him, gives him Olam Haba, he doesn't get punished in this world? He's going to make an idol. This idol is the chief Avodah Zarah in Am Yisrael, and it lasted throughout the period of the Shoftim. Remember, this is talking about an early period, in the time of Othniel, latest, and it lasted throughout the period. Even up to times of Shmuel and Avi. Yet we don't punish him because he was a machnis orech. So it obviously requires explanation. Of course, for all types of explanation, we go to Reb Tzadok. Let's turn to page 3 here for a minute. It's a long Reb Tzadok. It's going to take us a while to go through. And it really connects Shimshon and Micha. And I know it's a little bit cut off here on the top. It's from the Sefer Takonos HaShavim. So I'll tell you what he says outside. The Danu Zanva, the Aryeh, he was the Don is the Shevet Don, is the tail of the lion, which is Yehuda, and he is the Shorish Midas Adin. Now pick up there, Shorish Midas Adin Kishmo is the source of Midas Adin. Va'kein, and therefore Shimshon Ayoshofet, Shimshon was a judge, Yodin Imo Amo, and he judged his nation. V'lo Melech, and he wasn't a king. Va'kein, and therefore Bebirkas Yaakov and the Brach of Yaakov, Vino Nimshal and Ochosh, he is likened to a snake, V'lo L'Aryeh, and not to a lion. V'no Da, there's a lot of big chidushim in this Reb Tzadok. Okay, we'll try and go through it, the whole thing, and see all these chidushim. V'no Da the Kasari Mu'ura Brachmonus, it's known that the anger of a lion is tempered by mercy. Gamke. Kemosha motivin, that's what the scientists say. Masha Enkin, as opposed to Hamas Zochei Ofer Nechoshim, the anger of those who slither on the ground. Unechoshim and the Arab snakes, who are just angry. Vakei lo noe lo amalucha, and therefore kingship is not suitable for Shimshon. Kimei kaas, because from anger, balagasus, one becomes haughty. Kamosh Kasati Lalushneim Chalik, Reb Tzadok wrote, which we didn't see tonight, obviously, that they're both one. Veim Anfe Yitzra Davodazara. And anger and haughtiness are both considered linked to idolatry, because they give credence to powers other than God. Anger, you give credence to your fellow man's iniquities, and haughtiness, you give credence to yourself. Da'akein Sam Yeravam Ha'echad B'don. And therefore, Yeravam, when he made two golden calves, put one of them in Don. Mishamu Mishoresh, and in Don, who Shoresh is the source, Limitius Avodazor B'Yisrael, for the existence of idolatry in Am Yisrael. Kamo Shamu, like it says, B'Sifri, Aposuk, in the Pasuk and Dvarim, B'Yesh B'Chem Mishpocho Shevet, if there is among you a tribe or a family which has intents of Avodazor, Zeh Shevet Don. Shevet Don was the one which Moshe Rabbeinu looked at when he said, if there's a bad apple among you, be careful. Who was he meant? Who did he mean? Shevet Don. This is what they said in Perichel, the Pesel Micha Aver Bayom. The idol of Micha passed through the Dead Sea, the Red Sea with him. And in Tana Velio it says, the Micha bought Banochi. Micha kicked. He denied Anochi Hashem Lokecha. V'zeu Shoresh HaYadus Yisrael. Anochi is the source of all Judaism. And that's why in the Torah, it doesn't say Anochi as a commandment. It doesn't say, believe in me, God. It just says, I am God. Because it's taken as an a priori assumption that every Jew has within him the innate emunah, which Anochi requires, which Anochi is. Kishorash Yisrael, because the root of Am Yisrael is Ma'aminim, believers b'nei Ma'aminim, the children of my believers. But Gam Ovdi Avodazar Yisrael B'Klal Zeh, even Jewish idolaters included in this category of believers. V'avo Pishem Evatim B'lo Yielecha, even though they kick Lo Yielecha, in other words, they have other gods other than God himself. Mikom Akom, nonetheless, Shoresh Levavam Nikshar V'emunas Hashem Yisborach. The root of their soul, of their heart, is connected in Emunah of Hashem. Rak, who's an exception to this? Micha. Why is Micha called Micha? Another Chazal. Sheitzmach Mech Bebinyan. Who remembers this Chazal? What was Micha in Egypt?
He was in the wall.
He was one of the people who were crushed, one of the kids, who were crushed into the wall because they didn't fulfill the quota of bricks. Everybody remember that? When the Egyptians used to crush little Jewish kids into the wall when they didn't fulfill their quotas. So Moshe Rabbeinu cried out to Kodesh Baruch Hu and he said, this is fair. This is justice. Right? So Kodesh Baruch Hu told Moshe Rabbeinu, you know what? Take one out. We'll see what happens with him. So Moshe Rabbeinu took one out. And it was Micha. And Kodesh Baruch Hu later said to Moshe, see, told you so. I know the ones who I had put into the wall. There was a specific intent with those. Baruch Hu leads people make mistakes. We have free will. We all have free will. So Moshe Rabbeinu also had free will. Now let's see what he says here. The Tzadok says a beautiful thing here. Ach Micha Shemitzmach Mech Mebin is called Micha because he was crushed into the building. Ki osam shesamu v'makom levena b'bina, those who put in, they put into the bricks in the building, who ke'elu, it's as if ein poem el chomer ha'afori levad, they only have material substance. V'afo pishko zer Yaakov yish b'mchelek elokim imal. Hi, even though all the children of Yaakov have this divine spiritual part, v'komakom nonetheless lo'itzem ha'ishtakos b'mitzrayim, since they were so mired in Egypt, yeshoy ha'gufam chomri, some people, their bodies are completely material, Kokach, to such an extent, that he was severed from his spirituality. So that even his lifetime, it's as if his spirituality was separate from him. Voimet Alem was just standing over him, only as if it was surrounding him, but not inside him. So what? The neshama was, or they had different kinds of neshamas. It's not a question of doing something wrong. It's not a question of through one's chait. There are certain neshamas who are material. Very materialistic. Now, the Zetam Tachas Raglov Kemais Alita Sapir is a very cryptic pasuk at the end of Parshas Mishpatim, where it says, underneath God's feet was a sapphire brick. The Reb Tzadok explains, Shulamata Mikol HaKoyma. There are certain people who are below the sheer koma. Am Yisrael is likened to a giant person. This is a metaphor. And there are the people who are head people, who are very high, and people who are feet people, very low. And there are even people who are below the feet. They're actual Rishoyim and sinners. But they also are purified. They're the Tachas Raglav. They're also Kalivnas Hasapir. They're also made to be purified and uplifted and sublime and bright and brilliant like sapphire. Elishimikomakom, nonetheless, the Sod Makif, Hayamizakichom Achinasu Sapirim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu also purifies them until they too become like sapphire. But not so fast. But it's a process. You can't get there at once. You can't jump. In Christianity, Lahavdil, you jump right into Olam Haba. All you have to do is accept Yashka and you're in. By us, it doesn't work that easy, right? He wanted, not to pass go, not to collect $200. He wanted to go straight and bring about all the possible redemption he possibly could. His desire was that everything should be rectified in his day. He didn't think that there would be this ego maisa. Can't keep a game the Erev Rav, that's why I accepted all the game of the Erev Rav. And the truth is that in the world to come, and I shouldn't say in the world to come, the time of Shiach, also there will be a parallel with this. There'll be Gerim who try and latch onto the Jewish people. Even though one doesn't accept Gerim at the time of Mashiach. He wanted also to rectify these guys. The Chomash Efshel Lava B'Solvi Deitikun, he thought any rectification which would ever be, he'll bring it all about right now, here and now, Shia came B'Yomav, immediately in his time. V'tzivah Hashem L'Yisbarach L'Otzi Micha. And Hashem said, you know what, try Micha. V'sha Elav Hayelo Shaychus, because he had some connection to Micha. How do we know the connection to Micha? As we'll see later in the Perek, Shein Yitzchab Elav Yonasan Mizaro. Yonasan, who was Moshe Rabbeinu's grandson, became the priest for Avodah Zarah in Micha's temple. So there was some connection between them. Vayodon is Barashorish Tanoso and Toso. And through Yonasan, the grandson of Moshe Rabbeinu, came about Micha's mistake. Micha, at the end of the Perek, which I'm sure we won't get to tonight, but he says, he exults and says, he says at the end of our Perek, wow, great! I'm really on the right track because Hashem has sent me a Levi, Moshe Rabbeinu's grandson, to be my Kohen in my Avodah Zarah temple. But by Moshe Rabbeinu, he came to a mistake. And I think that, says Reb Tzadok, from this pasuk, it seems clear that he denied Anochi and not Lo Yelecha. Omar Yetiv Hashem. He said, Yetiv Hashem Yudke Vavke. Shem Havaya. He used the low nimtza came by Avodah Zarah b'shum makom kayadua. It's known that with Avodah Zarah, Avodah Zarah throughout Tanakh is never called Yudke Vavke. Avodah Zarah is constantly called Elohim. It always says Elohim Achirim, but it never says Havaya Achirim. Havaya is the name of God, right? God doesn't give his kavod to anybody else. But this demonstrates that he was so coarse, so base, Micha, that he was so distant from spirituality. He didn't understand spirituality at all. He also was a believer, the son of a believer, Be'amin Ba'Hashem. This is a unique Jewish idolatry. Throughout Jewish history, says Reb Tzadok, we worshipped Baal, we worshipped Ashtoreth, we worshipped, the gods of Ammon, the gods of the Plishtim, you name it, we did it. You don't call the Pesel Yud-Kei-Vav-Kei. You don't find that. Never find that. Even in the Midbar, even in the Ego, it says, Elu Elohecha Yisrael, Elohim. It doesn't say Yud-Kei-Vav-Kei. One time, you find a Pesel called Yud-Kei-Vav-Kei. That's here, by Micha. He called his Pesel Yud-Kei-Vav-Kei. He took God and made God physical. He didn't worship a foreign God. He worshipped Hashem, Yud-Kei-Vav-Kei, in the form of an idol. Every other Jew was bought below Yelucha. They accepted foreign gods. He didn't accept foreign gods. He took Hashem and made Hashem into a material existence. Says Reb Tzadok, V'zeu b'ita b'anochi, v'yikik d'anochi, d'lo avar avar zor lamti Elohim achrim klau. He didn't make other gods. Nehemi b'avaya. He believed in God. Rak shehikshim k'fi chom yusuf. But since he was a coarse and material person, that's why he was built into the bricks. He made Hashem coarse and material. V'yikik kofar avar mitus Hashem yisbarach. He denied the true nature of God. U'bat b'anochi. V'lo b'lo yelucha. The truth is, says Reb Tzadok, v'chom ma'mini ha'kshoma kein. All ma'mini ha'kshoma say this, all believable people who believe that God has a sub-body believe this as well. Afo pish ha'raivet b'ilchus tshuva krom g'doylim v'toyvim. Even though the raivet called them great and big, and I want to digress here for a minute and tell you this. This is something which I spoke about a long, long time ago, 3-4 years ago. But, there's a Rambam which says that anybody who believes God has a form is a min. Min is one of the types of apikorsim. And the Ravid says, listen, many people greater and bigger than the Rambam have made this mistake. So a little shtoch there on the Rambam. So it's a famous Reb Chaim on this. Reb Chaim says, in answering the Rambam, he says, classic Brisker line, Nebuch an apikoris is oich an apikoris. Yeah, you're right. Many people have made this mistake. Tough on them. So they're apikorsim. What can you do? So they're unfortunate apikorsim, but they're still apikorsim. But the thing is that not everybody holds like this Reb Chaim. There's a story, I don't usually tell stories, but I'll tell you a story. A story that at the time of that Rizal, there was a Marano who came to live in Tzfas. He came back to Jerusalem and came to live in Tzfas. And he heard the Rav one day in Tzfas, tell over the story. That at the time the Beis HaMikdash was the concept of lechem apanim, the fresh bread which they brought to the Beis HaMikdash every year. And since the time of the Beis HaMikdash, we don't have that anymore. So this Marano felt very bad for God, because God used to get fresh baked bread every week, and now God doesn't get any bread anymore. So what did he do? Every Erev Shabbos, he used to bring 2 loaves of bread to the shul, put them in the Aron Kodesh, for God to have fresh bread. Turns out, every Erev Shabbos, the Shamish used to clean up before Shabbos to find clean up the Aron Kodesh, prepare for Shabbos, and he used to find this bread and take it home and eat it. But the Marano, what did he know? He came back the next week, the bread wasn't there, he figured God has been eating the bread, right? So he's very happy, he brings bread and God eats it. So finally, one Friday afternoon, the Rav comes by, for some reason, Erev Shabbos, and he finds this Marano putting the bread in the Aron Kodesh. I said, what the heck are you doing? He said, I'm bringing bread for God. God eats my bread. So the Rav starts shouting at him, you idiot, don't you know God has no form? God has no image. God doesn't eat. I bet you the Shamish eats the bread. And they called the Shamish. And the Shamish said, yeah, it's very, very tasty. So this Marano starts going home, all dejected. This whole thing he did is no good. So the Arizal sends a message to the Rav. So the message he sent was, go home, write your will and testament, tell your family what they should do, because tomorrow on your way to shul you're going to drop dead. I do. He said, you should know from the day that the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, HaKadosh Baruch Hu didn't have nachas ruach like he had from this Marano. Should the Munah to take the bread and put it in the Aron Kodesh, and you ruined it. That's it. And that's what happened. The next day, the Rav dropped dead on his way to shul. So, what's the point of this Maisa? It's like the Rebbe. This Marano was misguided. He was wrong. But nonetheless, that's what the Rebbe is saying. People who make mistakes, they're wrong, but that doesn't make them oisis wrong. It doesn't make them apikorsim. And if everything else they have is correct, they have a simple emunah in Hashem, so they're amaratzim, they don't know better. But that in and of itself gives them a madrega, gives them the fact that they mean well is in and of itself a good thing. So as I know, it's like a chassidish story. But the point I wanted to bring it up to bring and make a point, which is what the Reb Tzadok is making up here. Alpha Bish arrive at Karm Gdoilam Vitoivin. Alpha Bish Shagigimzeh. That's the people who are unintentional. Avi Komakom, but nonetheless, Moedish Shagubzeh. They did make a mistake. Vavdagam Shagig Tzar Kapara. Now, even though Shagig also requires atonement, the Komakom, nonetheless, Loni Karosha Kla. It's not called a Rosha. Alpha Bishloyer Koyomam Shigasu, even though his whole day, three days, this Marano with his whole life, he didn't realize what he was doing wrong. Lo Sharman didn't do tshuva. Vavni Chavade Mutoyan, Reb Tzadok is Mulamit Chusan Micho, and he says, Micho made a mistake. Mikomakom nonetheless, Nikra, but he kicked God. Fishahoya Lo Lima Velo Lama. This is the guy who went through Yamsuf. This is the guy who was a Mammon at Har Sinai. He should have known better. He was too close to intentional. Because he transgressed the two dibros, like we're going to see, he transgressed death. And he also transgressed false oath. He heard a curse. The kibul atzmon, he accepted the curse upon himself. And he didn't confess at first. This we're all going to see. And he also denied kibbutim. And by consistently transgressing, he made himself an avariyana transgressor, shabalatame, and he came to defile himself, Leo's paischin, and the door was opened before him. Vuyam Izar de Yosef, and he was of the children of Yosef. He was from Ephraim. Nizgalga pislo livne don, and his pestle ended up by Don. Why? Shem ascholas gilu zara de Rachel. Don was also related to Rachel. Don was the first child of Bilhah, who was Rachel's servant, maidservant, which she gave to Yaakov. Shibchasa Sharatza Libarasman, Ocha Adain Midas Adin no Senes, and she wanted to build herself from Bilhah as long as the Midas Adin didn't allow her to have children herself. Okay, Reb Tzadok goes into this in detail, I don't want to go through it inside. Fascinating thing he says here is that Don and Yosef are connected. Don is the one in Am Yisrael, the Shebu, who is most susceptible to Avodah Zorah and Begilui Arayos. And Yosef is the Shevet which represents restraint from Avodah Zorah and Begilui Arayos. Yosef was the first one to be put in this terrible test called Egypt, which was a land which was rife with Avodah Zorah and rife with Begilui Arayos, and he was successful in saving himself. So Don is the failure, and Yosef is the success. Don comes from Bilhah, Yosef from Rachel, that they're connected. Now let's turn the page here. It says, Mem Gimel. Val Cain, and therefore Lo Nafal Shevet Hadoni, Nachla B'Sof Shifte Yisrael, the Donites didn't have any Nachla, and we're going to see later in this Maisa that the Donites didn't have any Nachla B'Sof Shifte Yisrael, Ad Pesel Micha. They couldn't find a place to live. Why? Shuyim Mevakshim Azadai Nachla. Well, not why, but they were still looking for a Nachla. Like it says there, the nachlas oretz, the inheritance of Eretz Yisrael, lezera Yisrael, to the seed of Israel, who Yerusha me'avos is a Yerusha is an inheritance for our forefathers, more which demonstrates al shoresh kedushas Yisrael mitoldosam, on the source of our holiness from our source. Ki Hashem Yisbarach nikra lokei oretz, God is called the God of the land. The Torah is primarily focused on the land of Israel. That's the sanctity of the land. Which spews out all the goyim. Only receives bnei Yisrael. Who are the source of their forefathers' sanctity. From whom they received the merited the promise of Eretz Yisrael. Look at this. Why wasn't Eretz Yisrael all conquered in time of Yoshua until the time of David? Why in Sefer Shoftim were there so many goyim left? They were rife with Avodah Zarah. They were rife with licentiousness at Dor David until the generation of David Melech Lev Hashem. Only then Shushleim was Knesset Yisrael, that Am Yisrael become a holy, sanctified nation. Of Nei Don, the Don, they were worse off than everybody else. We learned way back when, at the beginning of the Sefer, that everybody had goyim in their midst, and some people even lived. Some of the Shvati even lived in the midst of the goyim. But the worst was Don. Not only did they didn't even have a place to live in Eretz Yisrael. They were Nod and Nod Ba'aretz. They were just wandering. By the way, Don and Nod are connected backward and forwards. So they couldn't find a spot. They were the worst, the lowest of the low. Their Kedusha was not at all manifest. It wasn't until then that their holiness was revealed. And then at the end of Sefer Shoftim, we find now, we're going to describe in Perek Yudches how they found a Nachla. And at the same time, when they got a Maila, they finally managed to get some Kedusha, they immediately got a Chisaron as well. Nizgala Oz Gam Chisrono. Shemachmosu lo nizgala lo motu Nachla Oz. We're going to see why they couldn't find Nachla and let it continue. Pishazeh Chisaron Meshor Shayadus Akein Ikro Kosub. And since this is a terrible shortcoming in their Judaism, we left it for the end of Sefer Shoftim. By the way, when they finally got a Chiluk, where did they get a Chiluk? Where's Don's Chiluk in Eretz Yisrael? Originally, they were destined to be down by Yehuda, right next to Yehuda, which is the center. But now, where do they get?
The other side of the...
All the way up north. Midan Vad Beersheba. Who's at the fringes of Eretz Yisrael? All the way at the fringes? Don. Why? Because they're the fringe. There are people at the edge. It was supposed to be Don and Yehuda together. We said Mashiach comes from a combination of Yehuda and Don. Don was supposed to be right next to Yehuda. Couldn't hack it. They weren't on that Madrega. All the way to Father's Reaches, it says that by Yerdafim Adon, right, Avraham Avinu pursued the four Melachim Adon. Adon he stopped. Why did he stop Adon? Because he sensed that that's where Pesel Micha was going to be. That was the outer limit of Eretz Yisrael.
What exactly does it mean that the reason why Yirmish Hakel B'Mai Yeshua Adi May Do What Is Shloim Is Baruch Kedushas Yisrael Adayim?
Yes, because we learned in Sefer Shoftim at the beginning that they were highly assimilated and they worshipped much of Avodah Zarah and they married Shiksas.
Right after they entered the Eretz Yisrael?
Yes, right after Yeshua's death. Yeshua didn't have enough time to finish it all, and right afterwards they started going astray for the whole period of the Shoftim until David HaMelech. David HaMelech Shmuel began, and David finished the process of purification. They slipped back down again after Shlomo HaMelech died. But that's our nation's history, basically. We've been quite adept at failing spiritually throughout the generations. But that's not for tonight. Different time. We'll talk about it more. What? No, that's true too. Shimshon. This story comes after the stories of Shimshon. Ashkodim Lohabe. Even though Shimshon was many years before, many years afterwards, the story was many years before Shimshon. Kamida Saksuvi says a tzaddik and amazing thing, because that's the way the psukim work. Lahaktim harafua lamaka. First, you have the rafua before the maka. He was the greatest Donite ever in this world. And he rectified the Sheva to the extent that was possible. Even though he also married the Shiksas. The near kilu yesh lo shaykh to my realm, it's as if he has connected to the connection to the goyim. Mikomakom, nonetheless, hakosuf hei delov, the psukim tells kim yesh Hashem oisozos. Linkom, for revenge. Ad rabbi yedezeh. Mayhem to take revenge on the country from them, lachniyam, and to subjugate them. Ularalon to be bad, l'odam b'liyal, to those people, the evil people. Nemar sham b'niyam micha, and it says by micha, v'chem b'niyam nascholos tipor de b'nei don, and also beginning of the maisot b'nei don, achar kach, later on, the bayomi mayim en melech b'sro. And all the supposed mefarshim are bothered by that. What does it mean? So there was no king, big deal. So they had tripped him. What does it matter? Tripped the king, what's the big difference? So Tzadik says there's a mystical issue here. What does it mean there is no king? Hainuki mitzad midas hamachus ushlemus haknesses Yisrael. There are 10 spheros. And the last sphera is Malchus. And Malchus, the connotation of the midah Malchus, which represents David, which is represented by David HaMelech, is that Hashem's kingship is manifest in this world. Our purpose in this world is l'sakin olam b'malchus shakai, to bring a kingship, a kingdom of God. I know that sounds Christian, but it's not. It's ours. To bring a kingdom of God down on this world. They didn't have Malchus. There was no Malchus Shakai. Ein Melech Bisrael means that midah of Malchus was lacking. They had Shoiftim. But Shoiftim were not the same thing as Malachim. It wasn't David HaMelech. It wasn't David who, everything he did was Shivisi Hashem L'Negdi Tamid. Was always to do the right thing from a Kodesh Baruch Hu and bring Hashem into this world. The only reason why there's this problem among Jews is Raka Sharadain Ein Melech, when there's no king. Lo Nishlam Adain Bina Komas Knesset and Klaisro was not complete. Vakein, therefore, Omar Pesel Micha only stood Rakos Manios Beis Elohim B'Shilo as long as the Beis Elohim was still in Shilo. Shub Shevet Ephraim, which is in Shevet Ephraim, Asher Lo Yivchar Bo L'Nachla, where the Nachla doesn't rest. As long as Yerushalayim wasn't chosen, which is the Nachla, the ultimate kingship. Am Yisrael was, through its Bechira, has not yet clarified itself, that Hashem should be among them, to a set inheritance, that he should always be among us. And that's why they have Pesel Micha, Shurabiyut Banochi, which is the kicking of Anochi, Shurashosh Kedushas Yisrael, which is the source of Kedushas Yisrael. Okay, then he goes on to describe, this is in Yonah de Yoimai, so I really want to do it inside, but I see it's getting much too late. But he says that Shevet Dan, every Shevet we know corresponds to months of the Jewish year. So Shevet Dan corresponds to which month? Which would you guess? Av. Shenichnas Av, Mematim B'Simcha. David Yosef corresponds to which month? Adar. And that's why there are two Adars. Because Shevet Yosef was Ephraim and Menashe. And it says with Tzorek, that's why Mishenichmas Adar Ma'arim B'Simcha, even from the first month, even from Adar Rishon. Because both months represent Yosef. So therefore he says that it's Zeruba Zev, these correspond to each other. Don is the one who represents the Churban, the shortcoming of Am Yisrael. And Yosef represents the tikkun, the rectification. Don is the one who was dissolute and caused korban. Not he himself, perhaps, but that midah of Am Yisrael assimilating among the goyim. Even though Shimshon rectified it somewhat, it wasn't complete rectification. Yosef represents the restraint. The restraint of restraining oneself from Avodah Zarah, restraining oneself from Arayos. Ultimately, the purpose, though, was which month? Not Adar, of course, but Adar is the prelude to Nisan, because Nisan is the time when everything is then perfected, and the time of Malchus, and Nisan corresponds to which month, to which Shevet? Shevet Yehuda, right. Okay, that's enough for this for tonight. Maybe we'll get close to Purim, we can talk about that a little bit more, but in any event, let's go now to Pasuk Beis. Going now to the Perek Yudzayin, Pasuk Beis.
What
was the approximate time of death in the first king? 350 years. About 350. 350 years, they were during the Shoah. Yeah, during the Shoah. Drifting, basically. Drifting, yeah. We both mean the same thing. There's different terms. Okay, let's do Pasuk Beis. He said to his mother, Bichol said to his mother, Elifu mea kesef shel lukach loch, the $1,100 which were taken away from you, vat olis, and you cursed, vat gamba mati, you said also baznai, I heard you say this, you said this to me, hine that whoever should take took the money should be cursed, hine you should know kesef iti, I confess, I took the money, ani lukachti. Vatomri Moshe, his mother said, if you took it, Baruch B'nil Hashem, then my son, you should be blessed to God. Now, of course, he said here, Yudke Bavke. See the Yudke Bavke? That means she meant really God. Now, a couple of things here. First of all, there's a point, Rashi brings down that some people thought, of course, it's an error, that his mother was Delilah, Shimshon's wife. Because here it's $1,100. And by Shimshon is also one. The Philistines promised Shimshon's mother $1,100. I'm sure his mother, Delilah, his wife, $1,100 if she snitches. So they said that there's all, but it doesn't work out because then he wouldn't be from Shevet Ephraim; he'll be from Shevet Dan. And Rashi says it's a mistake. But the $1,100 seems to be connected, and that's
could be.
But in any event, Rashi
said that there were different time periods.
Yes, but this would only be this would only if you took a kipshuto that it was subsequently, right?
No,
but
in
any event, the thing is that the chemdas hamomon here, that the lust for money was similar, and Reb Tzadik somewhere else, we mentioned this last week, points out that 1,100, for reasons which we won't discuss this evening, is a sum which has a negative connotation. So there is some sort of connection in this point. But in any event, let's talk more. Let's go a little bit further. Vayoshev etzel v'amer kesef, he gave back the $1,100 limo to his mother. Vatomer imo, his mother said, "Look, you know what I intend this money for? Once I saw it was stolen, I said if I ever get it back, it was an astronomical sum, $1,100 in those days, right? Whatever it was, 1,100 pieces of silver." Vatomer imo, his mother said, "Hakdeshik dashi l'Hashem, zakesef l'Hashem." I sanctified the money to God, miyodi, from my hands, livni. I meant for you, I didn't know that you stole the money. I had meant, at that time, to make the money hekdish, to give it to you, lasos pesel umasecha, to make an idol and an image. Batah, shivetalach, now I'm going to give it back to you, so you should take it to make this avodah zarah. So this is amazing. Well, she's been saying a bracha to yurke babke, tavayo. To Hashem, that she wants to make a pesel umasecha. Remarkable, isn't it? It must be that the Rabbag rather says, with this Rabbag's approach, nobody else says this, is that it wasn't an actual avodah zarah, but a talisman, you know, what's the word for that? Amulet. Like Gideon, when he made, way back when, that belt. So this is similar to that thing back then. The Malbim says that the fact that, by the way, the Malbim is on page 2, on page 20, Mikroskos, on page 2, yeah, the Malbim. The Malbim says that the fact that he readily returned the Gneva, and that he subsequently didn't want to be the executor of his mother's Nedavat HaVarazor, which we're going to see in the next Pasuk, and therefore returned the money to her, indicates that he was Yirei Shamayim. Perhaps he even stole the money to L'shem Shemayim. He didn't want his mother to make an idol. Perhaps he knew she was going to give it. But it didn't do it. Although he might have started out in Yirei Shemayim, he went down the tubes. And that's what happened to Pasuk Dalet. Vayoshev etz hakesef limo, he gave his mother back the money a second time. He said, "No, Mom, I'm not making an avodah zarah with this money." Nonetheless, vatikach imo masayim kesef, vatinei l'tzoref, his mother took $200 and gave it to the Tzorev to Smith. Vayaseu pesel masecha, made a pesel masecha. All the Mepharshim say that the pesel masecha was worth $900 and that $200 was the Smith's fee. The Malbim says that since Michal was such a big Yirei Shamayim, he managed to convince his wife, his mother, to make a less precious avodah zarah. He managed to whittle down the sum of money which he was giving to the avodah zarah to $200. But anyway, his mother made the avodah zarah. Vayhi bebeis michio. And that avodah zarah was in the house of Micha. Now the Malbim says, he didn't worship it. He had the rabbah. He also took it l'shem Shemayim. He wanted to keep his mother from worshipping it. as the Malbim, still he transgressed in Aveira, because it says, Lo yeh l'cha loy machem, and Rashi says, you shouldn't even have them in your house. You're not allowed to have a little Buddha sitting on your mantelpiece. I mean, if you don't worship it, because it's an Aveira. Not allowed to be even in your house. So it says the Malbim, Aveira Gereres Aveira. Once he's got on a slippery slope of keeping an idol in his house, it was downhill from there. Now here he's still called Michio. It's interesting. After Pasuk Dal is called Michio. In Pasuk Hey, Va'ish Micha Lo Beis Elohim. All of a sudden we see Micha is now called Micha, not Michio. What happened? He lost what? He lost God. He lost the Yud and the Vav. Now I just wonder why those letters. Vav is a Vav HaChibur, right? Vav is connection. And Yud always represents the highest source of Judaism, right? The Yud is the letter which represents the highest Kedusha. That's why it's the smallest and highest. In, well, not the highest, Lamed is higher. But the smallest, and it's, well, Yud Kei Vav Kei, it's the first letter. So he lost his connection to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Aveir Gereres Aveir, until he lost that connectedness, now he's only Micha. Now he's only the downtrodden one. Va'ish Micha Lo Beis Elohim, he made this Avodah Zarah house. And here Elohim is obviously the Chazal say Chol, it means a house of idolatry. Va'yase Fodu Trafim, and he made an ephod, a breastplate for it. And obviously Big Day Kahuna, Utrafim, and little idols to go with the big idol. Va'yimaleis Yad Echom Ibanav, and he appointed, Milu Yadayim is called his appointment. It's also used by Aaron, next week's parasha, Tetzaveh. When Aaron is appointed Kohen, it's called Milu Yadayim. So here too, Va'yimaleis Yad Echom Ibanav, he appointed one of his kids, Vahilo the Kohen, and one of his kids, this kid became a Kohen. Ayomi Ma'imen Melech Bisrael. Why does this go on? There was no king. So we mentioned already what the Reb Tzadok says, but the other Mepharshim say the Pshat is there was no strong ruler to make a protest to come. Even though the Shoftim were judges, they didn't have the executive power to come and punish or rebuke or just oppress the people who were sinning. Each person did with that what they wanted. Yeah.
According
with
the
Ralbag,
you just said.
Malbim.
The Malbim.
Oh, the Rabbah said it was a talisman, but the Malbim really...
What
happened there?
Where's this deterioration?
It happened between Pasuk Vav and Pasuk Hey. In other words, Savero Gereres Avero was that he allowed a pestilence to his house, and gradually it worked its spell over him. I'm not saying in a mystical sense, but, in the sense of Avero Gereres Avero, until from between Pasuk Vav and Pasuk Hey, he went from being Michayu, to Micha. It's obviously in shorthand, but that's what happened.
Do we have any other instances that you can recall on the spot where we always make a big thing about the increase of letters? Abraham,
yeah.
Yoshua.
Do we have any place where
the traction? Like
I don't know. I don't know if we do. We do. With the Eliyahu Hanavi, but there it's say Hinei Nochi Lochel Chachem Es El Sholeichem Es Eliyahu Hanavi. At the end of Tavtov Shabbos Agol. So it says there that Yaakov Avinu, in one place in Tanakh, says Yaakov Mole. So Yaakov took one of the names of... Oh, is it six places? Okay, sorry. So it's good to have somebody who's bucking in Tanakh here. So it says that Yaakov took the Vav as an Eravon to make sure Elio redeems his children. So there, we do see Chazal bothered by in other places. I don't know if any place else they actually say, well, by Ephraim. Ephraim, it's Chaser Vav, right? Because he was Omer Arbevos and not. Because he took 400 shekel cast of over La Socher. So there are cases where Chazal do Darshan. I don't know if the exact same way, though. Vayina, I mean, Beis Lechem Yehuda. Okay, so far he had his kid as a Kohen. He had his, then he brought, then it says, Vayina, I mean, Beis Lechem Yehuda. There was a kid walking by, on the way from Beis Lechem Yehuda, the Mishpachas Yehuda, from the family of Yehuda, Vulevi, but he was a Levi. Vugar Shom, and he lived in Beis Lechem. So there's a machlokas here between the Radak and the Malbim. The Radak says he wasn't of Yehuda. What the pasuk is saying is that he was a nar from Beis Lechem Yehuda, where the tribe of Yehuda lived, but he himself was a Levi. The Malvim says his mother was from Shevet Yehuda, and that's why he's called me Mishpachas Yehuda, because although on his father's side he was a Levi, on his mother's side he was from Shevet Yehuda. And Bugarsham, he lived in any event, Beis Lechem, although it belongs to Yehuda, this Levi was living there. Vayelech HaYishmer Iyer, Beis Lechem Yehuda, this person left the city of Beis Lechem, Logam Esharim, so to seek his fortune, go live where he would find Parnasa. And he came to the mouth of Ephraim. And he came to Michal's house, just to pass by. He didn't intend to settle there. Michal said to him, from where you coming? Levi said to him, Levi, I am a Levi. I came from Beis Lechem. And I'm going to live where I'll find a place. Michal said, you know what? Shvoi Modi. Stay with me. Be my father, in other words, be my patron, my director, spiritual mentor. And you'll be also my priest. I'll give you $10 a year, is a big salary in those days. And I'll give you amount of clothes, say two sets of clothing, one for the summer, one for the winter. And that which you want, that which you need to live. And the Levi went. So that said, he went to fulfill Micha's contract. The mom says at first he didn't want to hear of it. He left. Only later did he reconsider and come back. And he coins the mom's means, he changed his mind. He's like, you know what? I'll do it. But first, says the mom, here again, the mom says there's a progression, a regression downwards. First, he just wanted Lashevet Sa'ish. First, he just wanted to live with him, not to be a coin to Avodah Zarah. He just became like a member of the household. I guess he did chores, he did work, but he didn't yet become a kohen. But then, Aveira Gorera Saveira, he lived there, he got influenced. Micha then appointed this Levi, and what happened was, obviously, he became the kohen, and he remained in the house of Micha, fully in the house of Micha. Now he became this kohen.
It gets weirder and weirder. He had a son that he made a Levi, even though they weren't from Shevet.
Right.
He made him a kohen.
But that was like, but yet, this is the chadchila.
Along comes someone
from Shevet Levi, and now he says, look, looking at the parak, Vayor Micha, Micha said, oh, atoyadati kieti v'Hashem li. Now I know I'm really being Oyvid Hashem. I'm really doing the right thing. Ki hoya li ha-Levi l'kohen. Now I don't have to use one of my sons. It's only Amir Ephraimite to be my kohen. Now I got a real bona fide Levi to be my kohen. Now things are really wonderful. Okay, now obviously this requires a lot of explanation. I'm going to see if we're going to have to finish next week, but let's start what Reb Tzadok says on this. There are two Reb Tzadoks on this.
For one thing, it's a clear advertisement for strong centralized government.
Oh, yeah. Certainly we're laying the groundwork. You can make the case. You can make the case that the last prakim in Shoftim are laying the groundwork for the kingship which comes in Sefer Shmuel. You certainly can make that case. Although the Farshim don't seem to say that. Now, let's add, these are two Reptonics from the Tzidkas HaTzadik, which is for Reptonics major Sefer. This is his magnum opus. This is, I told you, I think once before, several times, this is Mesilas Yesharim of Chassidus. And he learns two very basic things from this perek. And let's first see Kuf Pei Aleph, and then next week we'll see Lamates, because I don't think we'll have time today. And you know what? Let's see Lamates tonight. We'll come back to Kuf Pei Aleph next week, because Lamates is shorter. Kuf Pei Aleph speaks more about this grandson of Moshe Rabbeinu. Lamates speaks about the last pasuk in the perek. Pa'amim did me'lodim sheishol siyat, this is very depressing. Pa'amim did me'lodim, sometimes the person thinks, sheishol siyat to the shmaya, l'davish roysa, that God is on his side in that which he's doing. Ayis mochalza. Shouldn't rely on this. Lamor to say, shedavar tovu. That's a good thing. V'ulei kein, and this is the cheshman a person makes, if not, lo yakush baruch hu ozer, or Hashem wouldn't help me. Shirak laboli tarmisai, because God only helps those who come to purify themselves. Avaboli tome, by somebody who comes to make himself defiled, only says that God opens the way for him, but not that he helps him. So this is all a cheshbon. The person makes a cheshbon. Oh, if God is helping me out here, it must be that I'm on the right path. So this is a tzaddik. can't assume that. The komakom pa'amim, because there's some, nonetheless the times yeshlem nisayim siyu. Sometimes they help you out for your test, the v'chayotze or something like that. Ukmosh itza b'micha, like it says by Micha. Shlomo said, "I tell you that the chieti v'ashem li." He thinks God is helping you out. V'shem z'ba'avaya. We mentioned before, Yudkevoki is helping you out, not Baal, not Ashtoreth, not some other god. He thinks this is from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Shul Kodesh. Kinesa b'shvulos. And it says, Yedim Hashem li, ki hoya li alevi l'koyin. Harari choshev shelo siyata d'shmaya. He thinks, I have siyata d'shmaya v'ezer l'oki, and divine assistance lies, mim lo alevi l'koyin, that the levi should be l'koyin, l'hetiv lo, and make things good for me. Omnam razal, it's true razal amru. B'tanet ve'el yo, ki micha kofar banochi, micha denied anochi. Uvamokam acher. 2 more minutes. Uvamokam acher and somewhere else, which we saw already tonight. B'yaretzi, I explained shukafir b'shorish ha-Israeli, that he denied the shorish ha-Israeli, which is, he gave Hashem a form. V'ayin shom b'yuro. Rak b'chele nimtza mishaya chas v'sholom. And maybe says the Tzadik, he can make the argument that this is only true about the guys who were built into the bricks. Okay, the guys who were built into the bricks, they were mekukal to begin with. They came from a bad source. HaKadosh Baruch Hu told Moshe Rabbeinu, Moshe, it's not the time for them to be rectified. Someday yes, but now not. Who says we're not like them as well? Especially now in the last generations, you never can tell. We think that we're holy, we're tzaddikim, maybe we're like Micha. And therefore, you can't make the argument, well, Micha was different. Who says we're any different than Micha? Va'itzel azeh, so what do you do in such cases? If you can never tell, so well, what are you supposed to do in life? Va'itzel azeh, the only etzel is tefillah tachnuni l'racham eshamayim. It's only to daven for Hashem's rachamim. Hamoli yulim lahapich gama shorish, which help person even to change his shorish neshama. K'mosh kasapti b'makom acher, apostle gleb tar bro liyokim, the bria b'chol makom hainu yesh miayim. Sometimes the Kodesh Baruch Hu can change a person in his bria, in other words, ex nihilo to begin with, kanoda, v'ayin l'kam tzimun sama o samatah, which perhaps we'll see next week. So Reb Tzadok says, very basic and depressing principle. Just you might think you're on the right road, but you can never tell. And you can't tell from the fact that things are going good for you that you're on the right road. Just like Micha thought he was on the right path. And it's true, Micha had this special defilement. He was one of the guys in the buildings. Who knows? Maybe we're also from the guys in the buildings. As a tzaddik, never be too sure of yourself. Only thing you can do is daven and try and fulfill Torah mitzvahs the best you can. But you always have to be ready. This is the Bali Muslims say, although Reb Tzadok doesn't say this explicitly, people have to be ready to concede mistakes in life. Be ready that if somebody comes along and tells you, listen, you're making a mistake, this is not the way to do things, you have to be open-minded. Because the fact that you're successful till now is not a sign that you're doing the absolute right thing. And it's depressing, but not all of life is happy, even though Mishnah Nichnas Adar Marvim is Simcha. So it's a good thing to think about.